This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon to all our listeners out there. We're coming to you live today here in the studio, and I have amazing guests with me all the way from Louisiana in the U.S. So family, today this is just some place where we're going to meet purpose and faith that fuels forever in marriage, relationships, and also in your walk with God. I'm your host, Terry Honey, and this is Couples of Destiny. So I can't wait to jump into what our guests will share with you. It's Apostle, your wife is in Louisiana, right?
And yes, ma'am.
She couldn't be with you here. Do you want to just quickly say hello to our guests?
Hello to all
listeners.
Of you. Hello to all of you today. I believe that God is going to minister to you and have a word for you in the situation that you're in, because God wants to see you victorious in His plan. And the enemy is trying to stop it, but the enemy is already defeated. So we look forward today to sharing with you.
Amen, amen. And then you have your son.
Yes, yes. I'm Giore. I'm his youngest son. It's a pleasure to be here in South Africa, and it's a pleasure to be on the air with you. You all, we look forward to God moving in your life radically.
And then another son.
Yes, this is Ethan Wansdale. It's a pleasure to be here, and so glad to see you and excited to see what God's going to do through this radio broadcast and see how God moves in people's lives today.
Amen. Now, Ethan's married, and he is not the biological son, but he treated as a son, because ever since I met you, he's always been around. We've seen him grow. We've seen all of them grow from like little young men, boys, to big men, and now married men. So we're going to have a short break, listen to a song, and it's by Citizen Way. It's called, actually the title of the song is so beautiful and very apt for today, and it says, "Where would I be without you?" Say to your husband, your wife, "Where would I be without you today?" as we listen to Citizen Way. And like I said this afternoon, family, wonderful guests in the studio with us, Apostle Frank, all the way from the Beam of Life Church. Is that what it's called?
Yes, ma'am. Beam
right.
of Life.
Beam of Life. And they are in Louisiana. I want to touch on today, you know, our theme that we have today is faith to build on. You know,
yes.
I always think about faith to build a dream on, you know. But we're talking about building. We're building relationships, building marriages, building communities, building God's kingdom, right? So, and the core of God's kingdom is really family, the family unit. So I want to ask you this one question today. I want to dig into something because, you know, we need to hold on to families and relationships that are unshakable because God is in it. He's the foundation of it all. So Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it." What does it really mean to build a marriage that God Himself is the builder of?
Well, I really feel that being married 33 years, and I had a little courtship before that for a number of years. The reason why that I was so long courting my wife was because I knew the gifting and the call that God had on my life. Now, I wasn't called to be just an ordinary churchgoer, but because of the gifting and the calling to preach to the multitudes and go around the world, I didn't need my wife to think that I was going to be going to a job 9 to 5 every day. I needed my wife to understand who I was, where God was calling me, and the sacrifices that would lay ahead in the years to come and years to follow. So as I begin courting my wife, of course, I had a spark in my eye. I liked the way that she looked. By the way, I met her at church. She happened to be the daughter of my Sunday school teacher. And so I knew her in going to church. She knew me as being in ministry when I was playing drums and singing. And then later as I became a youth minister and then the assistant pastor of our church, she understood who I was. But I really put those things out there. What I found out God wanted me to do, I didn't keep it hid from her. So I believe today, for those of you that are listening, as you're trying to build what God wants built, you need not be ashamed. You need not be timid at the right time. Not it just blurted out at the wrong time, but at the right time, God will expose and give you opportunity to say, this is what I feel in my heart. This is what God has made known to me about where I'm going. So if we're to build a foundation of a marriage, family, and relationship, we need to be very open at the very beginning of it. So with those of you that are out there today and you're saying, I'm trying to build this kind of life, I want that kind of success, you need to go to God first and say, God, send me who you want. Lord, I need the person that's going to be my helpmate. You need to go to God with that and let God begin forming that and bring it into place. And let me say real quickly before I give it back to our host, you don't deserve an answer to a question you haven't asked. So a lot of us want God to use us, but we've never taken time to stop and say, God, I need you to orchestrate this. I need you to put this together. So right now, just take a moment and say, God, I want this foundation that you can use, and I want it to last, and I want it you to be glorified, and I want the joy. Because when God brings His will into your life, your joy will go to another level. The reason why a lot of times we lack joy is because we tried to build it and we overlook the very one who has called us and has the ability to bring it together for us. So just go to Him now and say, Lord, I need you to put my marriage together. I need the right relationship now to come into my life. And let me let you in on it. I said, Lord, I want a girl that looks like this. I like my brunette wife. I like the way that she tall and built and all those things. So I wanted someone God could use, but I wanted someone I liked. So I asked God, hey, Lord, this is what I want. Guess what? I got all of those things I said I wanted. And I pray that she prayed that. But she got me anyhow. So it's been a 33 years of happiness. Now, I'm not saying we didn't fight the enemy, but I want you to understand, you'll fight the enemy, but God has a plan and He knows what you're after. Submit your plan to Him and say, God, I need you. Help me. I want this. And God is going to move for you. I promise you, He is a responder. So be encouraged today. I'm sorry, my sister.
No, that is beautiful. I think it's so vital. You know, couples need to understand that is how God works.
Yes.
He will light a fire in you, and He will ignite a fire in your partner to show you, hey, this is your go-to person, or this is your person, you know, and many times we miss it because people make emotional decisions. They're attracted because of a physique or whatever you say, by the external outward appearance.
Yes.
And God looks at the heart.
Yes.
You know, Ethan, you recently got married as well. Is that what it was like for you?
Yeah. So I've been married now 8 years. I've got two kids. And so it started off as an attraction, but the Lord had put that in my heart. It's like, because before I'd seen the same person and that attraction wasn't there. Like, same person, nothing changed. But then at a certain point, God turned it. And I was like, man, the Lord made her big to me. And she's a small person, though. She's not big. but yeah, He made her big to me. And the Lord began dealing with me about her. And you know, I kind of was in denial for a while. I was like, I don't know. That can't be the Lord, you know. And eventually, we started dating. And we got married, and that's what we started out with the Lord. You know, everything was God first, and that was the foundation, and God just put it all together, and we have a great relationship, really enjoy each other, and every day is a blessing.
That's wonderful. 8 years, two kids. Wow, that's really beautiful. I think, you know, you're not wasting any time. You want to get that solid foundation.
That's right. That's right.
You know? So I know our friend Yuri is not married yet. He's still a man in waiting, and how does that work for you?
A lot of free time, but, you know, I don't want to make a wrong decision and a rash decision based off, you know, what we spoke about a few minutes ago, just emotional decisions. I want whatever God has for me, because God wants the best, whether it's for me, for you. God wants to put the best thing in your life that can propel you to places you can't go alone. So I'm just waiting for God to bring me that person. However long He wants me to wait, I guess I'll wait, but I am getting a little tired of waiting, so, but, you know, it's not...
Did you say you're getting tired of waiting?
Oh, yeah. I'm always tired of waiting.
But mustn't you go and find her?
I keep looking everywhere. I can't find her. So she's obviously hiding her from me.
Yeah, for the right time.
Yep, that's right.
For the right time. I believe that. You know, this is so powerful, family. You know, we're listening to these great men that are speaking about relationship and how we know where our partner is our partner, because we want to build on that kind of truth of God's word. So we want to look at what if a couple feel like they've lost their center, they've lost that attraction. What is the first spiritual step they need to take for rebuilding? I know we've got 2 minutes to just discuss that.
All right. I think that if you've lost your way and lost your center, I believe it really, to get that back, begins with prayer. You know, that's what Brother E was mentioning just a few moments ago when he said he had his wife. She wasn't his wife yet, but it's the one that he married, but there was no attraction. Excuse me. What happened is when we go to God in prayer and we say, Lord, I want what you want, because we understand and recognize, pardon me again, what God has for us is good.
Amen. Amen. We know that, you know. I know the weather in South Africa is a bit different and they're adjusting. They just landed yesterday, so please bear with them. They might be a little bit jet lagged, but all glory to God, for his timing is perfect. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, when couples get to that space, that prayer is key. It's the foundation to everything. And we grew up with this scripture in our home that said, a family who prays together stays together. You know, it was just a beautiful block. It used to hang on our wall. And I always said, wow, this is so amazing. And I want to have this kind of life for my children going forward. And even now, we pray together all the time at every opportunity we get. We're going to go on a quick short break listening to Brenda Jans, and it says, it's time for the reign of God. We're back here talking about the couples who make emotional decisions. You were sharing something very vital there, Apostle Frank.
Well, foundation of prayer is really how you reset if you've lost your center. If you have lost that loving feeling, as someone quoted one day, really, when you come back to prayer, I like what our sister said a few moments ago. She had a plaque in her home when she was growing up. The family that prays together stays together. Well, I want you to understand something, that if you don't pray yourself, how can you pray with the family? So a lot of you listening, maybe driving, wherever your condition is today, you may say, I don't have a family that prays together. Let me tell you how you begin. You begin by praying by yourself first. And then when God develops, see, that's not something you develop. It's the submission to go to God and say, God, I need your help. I need this in my life. I want this in my life. That's the opening door when you begin to pray and come to God. And now you're saying, Lord, I want a mate. I want someone to live my life with. And now you praying for God to send them. That's what he did for me. He sent me my wife. And then, well, she was my girlfriend first. First of all, she was that girl I seen across the church that I thought, wow, she looks pretty good. And then after a few services, I thought, yeah, I think I'm going to, you know, ask her out or whatever, however that transpired. And anyhow, it worked. I bought her a cold drink at McDonald's, and we got to know one another just a little bit. And then as I continued to seek God, you know, one day as I was sharing a few moments ago, I began to tell her what God had shown me that he wanted me to do. A lot of us are afraid to share with others what dreams God has shown us and told us. So we're undercover spies, and we're trying to keep hid our real identity, and we put on the false front. And we want to look cool, and we want to fit in, and we keep hid the dreams that God has for us. I began to tell my wife, or my girlfriend, what I wanted, what I felt like God had for me. And then one day, I don't know, maybe it was about the third date, She says, I'm letting my walls down, and I'm being what's the word? It's
vulnerable.
Not vulnerable. That's right. I begin to be vulnerable with her, and I said to her, I said, now, you know, if you're looking for a guy that's going to work at a 9 to 5 and come home every evening, I'm probably not the guy. Well, she's kind of looking over there. We were in my car, and she's in the passenger seat, and she's kind of looking, and I'm thinking this is going to floor her because I think she wants a guy who's going to work 9 to 5, go up the ladder of the job and give her all these big things. But in my life, I didn't feel like that I could afford to buy her big things, nice home, nice car, and all these things that all these other boys were doing. The enemy was telling me, you're going to live a life of poverty. You're going to live a life. You're going to be in a struggle. So I began to let her in on it. I think if this is where God wants me to go, are you willing? Yeah, I mean, I knew I was good looking. I knew I was a catch, but me being a good-looking and a catch, are you willing to live in poverty? You know, I'm just joking about being so good-looking. But anyhow, you have to have your own confidence. So I shared that with her, and she interrupted me. And she said, great. And I like, what? Great. She said, yes. She says, because all of my life, I have had a special spot in my heart for the children of Indonesia. I don't know how I will ever go to Indonesia. I don't know how I'll ever get there, but I feel like God has called me there. And with that, she arrested my fears, and I recognize, wait a minute, she feels called to the mission field too. She feels called to the ministry also. So here we go. We didn't know that these were the things that God was putting together. All I seen was this good-looking girl. All she had, I don't know, I'm sure, all she had seen was that good-looking guy playing the drums and singing. And little did we know, and 33 years later, two fine young men that God has raised up in ministry with me. In fact, they're here with me ministering in the gospel. They've been with me all around the world. And here we are. God has made a team out of that relationship that she and I were just dating, sharing what God dreams that he had put in our lives. And now this thing has unfolded. God has taken it. Now, I didn't say we never fought an enemy, but I'm saying that God has brought us through and we're on top. Oh, by the way, I live in a nice home. My home is paid for. God has blessed me. I bought my tickets for all of my family to come on this mission trip. See, I'm not a pauper. God has blessed me, taken care of me, but it was really because years ago I surrendered in prayer by myself, and then later God gave me a wife who surrendered in prayer by herself, and now we are literally a family who prays together. Every morning, if my wife wakes up before I do, by the time I get up and go to my room and in prayer and making the coffee, she's already been to the prayer room and she's coming down. She's what we call soaking in the presence. After we pray a good while in the Holy Ghost in prayer in our personal prayer room in our home, then we come out and we read the scripture and God speaks to us and God ministers to us. And I'll tell you, there have been days that I've been sick, and her prayer life actually ministered to me while I sat over unable to pray like I normally pray. And I'm sure there have been times that my prayer life in that prayer room that we prayed together when she was weak, when she was low, my prayer life carried her. And in a few minutes, I know one of the next segments is we're going to talk about how do you bring your family. We're after to get a solid relationship between a man and a woman. We're after to get that. But where do we go after we get that? I want you to know in the next segment, we're going to talk about how now God used her and I, solidified us, got us to be warriors in the kingdom, obedient in the kingdom,
By the way, I pastor a church, and I'm an apostle. I have other church that's looking to my direction, and I minister to those pastors and to those ministers. In fact, I preach and teach to pastors around the world. So now, not only am I in my place, but while I'm here in South Africa, my wife is back at home tending to the flock. She's pastoring our church while I'm absent. So I want you to know this has not been something that she thought she would be at this place, but this is what God has developed. And in the meantime, God gave us children that are now finding giftings and callings. My son began to play the drums, and then as time moved, he went to the keyboard. And my younger son, who is here with us today, he plays the drums now. Now the son that moved from the drums to the keyboard began to sing. Now God has given him songs, and he's writing, and those songs are tremendous. But look at this. I preach, he sings. They sing, they play music. They're working in the technical side of this thing. See, God knows what he's doing, and your life is not any different than my life. The real thing is you've got to come to a place of surrender to say, Lord, I will surrender in prayer so you can use me to pray. And then Lord, you'll make me have a wife that'll pray with me. And then that little plaque that our host talked about, we'll be able to say the family that prays together stays together.
Amen.
And let me say, you'll work together in the kingdom. That's what God's plan is for you, is to work in the kingdom. Amen. I'm sorry, I've got to give it to the host.
Look, it brings unity, you know, because I know that we all face vulnerability, and vulnerability is not weakness, you know, but it's a strength that you can still build on. So irrespective of what happens, you know, God is still the anchor. Holy Spirit will still hold you. The anchor holds, you know, so we look at that hope, the anchor to our faith. We're going to go over to a song break by Rachel Lumper, and it's called For What It's Worth. Some and thoughts. Family, here we are again. It's such an interesting conversation, and we are just gleaning from what Apostle Frank is sharing, all these lovely nuggets that we can hold on. You know, he's so passionate, and your passion comes through. I mean, you are a presenter. You're taking my role, you're saying, in the next segment. So I think when you come to South Africa again, we're going to have to open up a place for you to present something. But Apostle Frank, you said such very beautiful things that I think couples can really glean from. And that praying together, it's really the anchor for everything. But Galatians 6, I want to just read the scripture. Galatians 6, 9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap the harvest if you do not faint and lose heart. And some couples, families, parents lose heart when it comes to their children, when the children are raised in a Christian home, but they're not serving with the parents if the parents are having a church. We have a church. We have children. There are people out there, friends, family, listeners out there who have this dynamic in their home as well. What kind of advice or what can you share about how you held your sons accountable that they are still so beautifully in ministry with you?
I believe one of the greatest things that we can do as parents is to be real and transparent. I think we sabotage my dealing with pastoring people. I've also been pastor now. How long have I been pastor? More than 20 years I've been pastoring. So I think that as I have dealt with so many different people, the line of success really lay with being real. Now, let me talk about being real. When you're in the kingdom, when you've put God first, the enemy is going to attack that. The enemy doesn't want God first in your life. He wants your work first. He wants money first. He wants relationships first. And then many times we try to put God in after. Mm-hmm. You have to put God first. Now, I know it frightens all of you. I can't put God first because my job says I got to do this and my money situation says I have to do that. Yes, yes, I understand. I've been there. I was willing to be in poverty to obey God, if you might have heard that a few minutes ago. I was facing that, or I thought that's where God wanted me to go, so I became okay with it. So when I put God first and then he began to make my money stretch, he then began to move for me. Let me share with you real quick. Every day before I went in the full-time ministry, when I would go to work, I would go and pray first in my prayer room. Oh, by the way, I didn't have a prayer room my whole life. One day, as I was in prayer, as I was doing what I normally done, like every one of us, the Lord said, I want you to have a prayer room. I lived in a house that was 25 foot by 25 foot. That meant it's so small, I could lay in the bed, answer the front door, stir the pot on the stove without getting out of bed. Oh, by the way, one bathroom, two bedrooms, and my wife and two children, okay? So I didn't have all these things, but I wanted my prayer room. The Lord said, I want you to have a prayer room. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I decided that I was going to get me a 6x6 spot in the room and put the tape down, and this is my imaginary walls. This could be my prayer room, my prayer chair, my prayer spot. And do you know, before I could do that, God moved for me and changed my address, got me another home, a big, beautiful home, still home I'm still in today, with the same prayer room that God gave me over 20 years ago, I still got today. God has moved for me. So don't be afraid to obey God and put God first. Be real. Now, you see, here's the problem. We all want to put on a smiley face and act real good, but really, your children need to see, I'm stepping out by faith. You don't need to preach it to them. They just need to see it. Because let me tell you something, when they're riding in the back seat and somebody talks bad about somebody else, they need to see if you're going to squash the bad talk and do what you said in front of the church people. You're going to have to do that. In other words, I'm not going to speak bad about my neighbor. We're going to pray for them. Sometimes you say, well, we don't want to pray for them. Those people stabbed us in the back. They done all those things wrong. Don't we feel like killing them? You need to say, yes, I feel like killing them, but we're not going to do what we feel. We're going to decide to do what the Word says to do, and that's we're going to love our neighbor and pray for them. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray for our enemy. Now, let me tell you something. I've been pastoring all of these years. My sons have seen people go against me. They've seen people betray me. They never seen me go to those people's house, put my finger in their face and tell them off. They never seen me strike them. They actually seen me cry as people told me terrible things to my face that hurt me, crushed me. They seen me cry, and I didn't know what to say because I was so flabbergasted. And I just said, Lord, help me. I just tried to do these people right. Do you know my children seen me act that way? I'm sure they wanted to go to my defense. But that's how you raise children to work in the ministry. You let them see that you're pushing. Right. You let them see that you're hurt. You let them see what you're going through. And then they get to see God move for you. I want you to know, this one in particular time, someone told me all sorts of ugly things to my face. Sat me down, put their finger in my face, told me off, and they were so wrong. But I was so flabbergasted by it that the Lord actually, I couldn't think of anything to say to them. I was surprised. And they just kept piling it on and telling me off and telling me how wrong. And I didn't know what to say. So I just told them, well, I love you and I never meant to do wrong. And I'm sorry you felt that way. Don't you remember all the times that I got up out of bed in the middle of the night on cold night and go to the hospital to pray for your children when they were being born and when things went wrong? I did the very best I could. I never hurt you on purpose. I hadn't hurt them. Just the enemy had lied to them and made them believe something that wasn't the truth. But I couldn't rebuttal for myself. All I could say was, I'm sorry. Please, I never meant to hurt you in any way. My children seen that. They didn't see me change when I got home. They just seen me cry and go in prayer, and shut the door. They didn't hear me. They didn't hear my complaints. They just seen me come back out with tears and recovery. And they seen God touch me, pick me up. And because they seen that realness, I believe that's why they're in the ministry today. And what I've discovered is in years of pastoring and counseling families, the thing that really hurt children is they see one thing in front of people and then they see something different at home. That's what I've seen that destroys the children. Somebody listening to me right now say, well, I may have done wrong. I may have not done that. That's okay. If you'll ask and repent, God knows how to fix it. Mm-hmm. By the way, your children need to learn how to repent by hearing parents repent. See, we were going to talk about how to build that relationship with marriages without tearing down. It's the gospel. The gospel is forgive and give. Forgive and give. That's the foundation of the gospel. God forgives us of our wrongs, and then we learn from that, so we forgive our spouse. We forgive our boyfriend, our girlfriend for doing something wrong. Maybe they didn't do it the way we liked it. You don't tear them down. You forgive them. Because let me let you in on it. My wife, some years ago, she was saying, we need to go on a diet. I need to go on a diet. No, she would say, I would need to go on a diet. I said to my wife, I've heard you say I need to go on a diet. You don't need to go on a diet. You're fine. I found out many years later, she really meant we needed to go on a diet. Did you hear that? We, me. I needed to lose weight. But she wasn't telling me I need to lose weight. She was saying we need to lose weight.
I like that. She's a wise woman.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
She will know when to say and how to say it. Apostle Frank, this is so beautiful because, you know, when a couple goes through refining fire, and those who hold on to faith always come out stronger and more unified, even as a family. And to see them see you in that space of vulnerability is powerful. I know exactly what you're speaking about. We're going to go on a short break for listening to Louis Britz and Fitzsala Stella. And it says, Why We Worship. Well, family, we are at that place where we close to saying so long, but before we do, Apostle Frank, could you please pray a blessing over the couples, over the families? There may be someone that need their relationship restored with their children and in their marriage.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. For those of you that are needing God to move for you in these areas, why don't you right now just agree with me? You see, God has already brought me through many of these things, and I'm here today to tell you that what God did for me, He'll do for you. The scripture said that He is no respecter of person. Do you realize that God loves you just as much as He loves me? So right now, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we believe your word. Lord, we thank you because we know that you are omnipresent in every listener's life today, and you are wanting to move. Now, right now, Lord, we surrender our walls. We surrender the things that we built up. Lord, we tear them down, and we ask you to come in. Lord, we ask you to move. Lord, we ask you to move in their lives, move in their relationship. Lord, remove in those marriages. Lord, move in those children. Move in those families. Lord, right now I come against the force of the enemy that would try to stop and to destroy. And I loose the anointing that breaks every yoke, that destroys every yoke. And Lord, we thank you for victory now in the name of Jesus.
Amen and amen. Well, gentlemen, do you want to say so long to the folks out there listening today?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure to be here on the air with you guys. And I hope that God might have sparked something in you and God made himself real to you.
It's been a pleasure, as he was saying, to be on the air with you guys. And excited for the pleasure to be here and be on the air. And,
amen.
Thank God for what he's doing.
Amen, amen, family. You've been listening to Couples of Destiny. And remember that great marriages aren't made in comfort. They're forged in commitment. And I like what you said, Yuri, in sacrifice. Everything in life is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you everything. So bring your sacrifice unto the Lord. Until next time, keep your heart soft and your prayer strong and your love unshakable. This is Terry saying bye now. Till next week.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. please visit kpulpit.co.za.